After a long, dry and sometimes hot summer, the touring cars is back with a bang.
Sometimes hot. It's been pretty bloody hot.
I think, have we had two heat waves since
at least two.
Yeah, nice.
Hello and welcome back to the British Touring Car Podcast. You join us once again. The summer break, quote, summer break, is over and we are back to racing. And we're off to Thruxton this weekend to complete the set.
It is. It's a momentous moment for us both. Yeah, I'm actually looking quite forward to this. I've been quite down on Thruxton in previous years.
You never really look forward to Thruxton, do you?
Well, I think in previous years that has changed somewhat. I think that as the regulations have evolved and the cars have got better at racing at Thruxton, I think that is fair. And it is still a lot better than Silverstone. So it is not as low on my list as it used to be. And I'm very much looking forward, as you say, to going this weekend, cracking the full set. And then we can have a proper debate on perhaps another show of our favourite tracks and why.
A 1 to 10 of the best in the season.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm very excited to see lots of Minis this weekend.
That is another massive plus point this weekend. It's a different style of support racing because of the nature of the circuit. And yeah, as you've alluded to there, we will have the Mini Sevens, which are the Andy Jordan, Mike Jordan and Jeff Smith.
Yeah, and also the Miglias as well, which are the other classic Minis, basically, along with some of the big Minis as well.
Yeah, so a good weekend for some very exciting racing. So I'm looking forward to that massively.
We've got plenty of news to catch you up on, though.
We do.
It has all happened in the last week or so, and there are driver changes afoot. You may have seen on our social media that we have updated you as these driver changes came to light. And the first one is...
It's at WSR. So obviously, going into the season, they had three of those magical TBLs. If you're new to the sport, a TBL is what you need to race. You get that directly from the governor of the sport, which is Toka and Mr. Alan Gow. And if you don't have a license, you can't go racing. WSR had three coming into the season, and they've only used two so far, with De Leon and Rainford, and they've now filled the third.
There was a lot of speculation in the off-season that it could possibly be filled for the second half of the season by a certain Mr. Jake Hill, who's had some issues, shall we say, with the GT entry that he's had proposed for this season. But it is not Jake Hill coming back to the sport. We have a brand new driver.
We do. We've got another Scott. So the Knock Hill round in a few weeks' time is going to be fantastically contested. We have Lewis Gilbert, who's joining the team, 22 years old, and joins the WSR family, which is great to see some youth being promoted through the system.
It's really interesting to see that WSR are taking more of this youthful stance this season going forward. Obviously, De Leon and Rainford have lower experience, but they're still good quality drivers. So I'd like to hope that Lewis Gilbert is going to follow in this fashion and bring out some quality, maybe not this weekend, but certainly towards the end of the season.
He is a European kart racer and has won the Euro Series X30 Junior title, which is some letters and
thrilling
words. But yeah, I must admit, it's not a driver I know a great deal about. He's not appeared in any of the support series, as far as I'm aware. But as I said, I think I moaned a fair bit on the on the questions answered pod about not seeing enough youth coming through the system. WSR have taken a little bit of a risk, you could say, a top team promoting another rookie driver. Mm-hmm. Three rookie drivers. I mean, De Leon and Rainford are rookies in some sense, but not really, given they're both multiple race winners. And
exactly.
But they are still fairly young in their BTCC journey. And now they've had their third rookie or fairly newbie to the team. So it's interesting the way WSR have developed. When you consider that used to run Turkington, Collard, the stalwarts of BTCC, even Hill to a degree, by the time he got to WSR, had been in the sport a long time, and now we're seeing this.
Do you think this is more of the move to being an independent this season? We have obviously seen them be an independent entry before, but do you think that's because they're moving to an independent this season and being more of a, quote, budget outfit?
Potentially. I also think that maybe that if you're trying to get a bit of new eyes on the sport or some backing further down the line, that as perverse as it sounds, sometimes having new people in the sport can bring that, because it becomes exciting, it becomes fresh. I'm not saying that having the same lineup every year makes things go stale. However, this will bring a new set of fans to the sport, or a new set of eyes to the sport, potentially more sponsors to the sport that he'll be bringing. So, yeah, I think that part of it does come down to the fact that if they're not got the manufacturer backing anymore from BMW, that perhaps expectations within WSR have changed a little bit, or pressures in WSR have changed a little bit, and it's allowed them to do this and take on a slightly different approach to driver lineups as well.
Yeah, however, we do have a young driver departing the grid in a certain Mr. Max Buxton. He will be leaving the Toyota, well, not quite leaving, stepping back into a more reserve and development driver role for Toyota.
So this is down to a sponsorship issue. So one of the big sponsors has pulled out, as we discussed in our questions podcast, which I've mentioned twice now. So if you know what I'm talking about, go back and watch it. We answered your questions in the off season. Yeah. This is one of the biggest risks when you are trying to compete in this sport and you are bringing one or two big sponsors. If they pull the plug, you are, unfortunately, up the creek without a paddle.
Yeah, it's such a money-critical sport, especially for drivers like Buxton as well, who's probably gone to the lengths, probably exceeding his means to be able to get on the grid and be able to get his name out there and get the coverage that he needs to get to be able to then push on in motorsport, when a big sponsor can drop out for you, or not even a big sponsor, but a significant input drops out, it's really crippling.
Yeah, and his replacement is, if we were to play touring car pointless, I would imagine would have been a pointless answer, yeah. Is Ryan Bensley, who Arvid, who eager fans may recall, did drive three races at Snetterton last year in the Virtue Hyundai that he replaced Michael Kreese for the weekend and kicked off a series of incredible paperwork carousels within that team around transferring TBO licenses.
I think the only person that worked out for was Senna Proctor, who managed to come in early.
Yes, absolutely. But Bensley is back. Interesting. This is a driver that has done pretty well in other sports. He's, he's not a rookie driver by any stretch of the imagination. It's one I definitely didn't see coming, no. I have to say. No. If we both discussed, again, in that questions video, I think, in the mid-season review, yep, about Buxton's potential future in the sport, and you were the doom and gloomer who've improved, right, so well done you.
Sorry.
If he was to have come off the grid, this would not have been the replacement I would necessarily have pointed to, but it is good to see another driver given a chance to work at the very top level with a top team.
It'll be interesting to see how he settles in, and I think the performances that Buxton has put out in the first part of the season, the first four rounds, he will be very much judged against those to how well he can adapt to the car and what sort of speed he can bring. If he's going to be off the back just that little bit like Buxton was, then okay, maybe it is getting used to the car or being a more of a rookie in the championship. If he's well off, then Buxton's got to do everything possible to try and get that sponsorship deal back to then be able to step back into the car possibly next season.
Yeah, so I'm interested to see how this works out for Bensley. I don't think he had a terrible time last year at Snetterton, but I don't think it was a magical drive either. But in fairness, you can't really judge a driver on one weekend in a car that you step in, and knowing as well that you're not going to be back in it for the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. This is a real chance now, I think, for him to try and cement himself in touring cars. And he does seem to be a very popular figure amongst other drivers as well. So be interested to see how he gets on this weekend. I mean, talk about baptism of fire coming in out of Thruxton. It's not where I'd want to make my British touring car debut.
Balls to the wall and full commitment. That's what Thruxton's for.
Absolutely.
It wasn't the only piece of news regarding drivers. Not this weekend coming, but we do have another driver coming to the grid and another license being filled, although I haven't quite worked out where from.
That's a very good point.
PMR.
One I've got them floating around, haven't they?
So PMR have built a fourth Audi.
They have.
And they will be running four cars from Knockhill onwards. And that car will be filled by a certain Mr. Nick Housted, who at the end of last season...
It's like the Sith. Just keeps going back.
At the end of last season, wrote this very long-winded...
Emotional goodbye, really.
Goodbye, yeah. Yes. To say that he wouldn't be partaking in the touring cars anymore. But this opportunity has opened up for him. And I think a team like PMR are quite willing to accept a driver like him into the series because they know he's had a couple of years' experience. Okay, he's been running towards the back in those years. But as we've also said before, with someone like Nick Hamilton... Maybe he just needs to find the right car.
You're using all my positives, because when I sent this to you, you weren't as happy as you are now.
No, I really think he will be at the back of the grid once again, possibly off the back of the grid as well, unless this really shows how good the Audi is.
The car looks mint. It does. The livery looks fantastic. Sort of bubble gum. And that's
not
blue.
Just the greeny blue looking mint.
It does look good. I think that I'm very conflicted because I agree with you on the one hand that this in some ways goes against everything that I think about touring cars.
Yeah.
However, on the other hand, somebody like Hal said, who has so much knowledge behind the scenes on trying to make algorithms work, and that's his world, and has done a lot of work in trying to get the touring cars into the 21st century, which I think that before he joined the sport, they were so far behind.
I was going to say, don't forget, he was one of the main instigators to be able to get the touring car races shown on TikTok
as well. And I think that is important. I say, what he might lack on the track, I don't think that's being too rude to say, he more than makes up for off the track. He also comes with a massive following. There's a lot of people that really do sort of like him. His crazy kart stuff was very good fun.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see if that comes back with him.
I think that from an innovation point of view, I do like having somebody on the grid that's not necessarily just there for their own racing, they're there for the sport itself. And I think that whatever you chuck at Nick Howson around his ability on the field, I think there are fair conversations we've had around that, you can't also doubt his love and passion for the sport as a whole. And I think that is really important. That's why I'm slightly, unlike you, I think that when Nick Hamilton was announced at Virtue, a lot of people are like, well, that's a wasted seat.
Yeah.
But actually, Nick has shown that what he can do with a car that suits him and a team that suits him. And sometimes, as you've alluded to there, you just need the right car. And we've seen it with some top racers that haven't done necessarily particularly well in a car. You then stick, I mean, you could say Daryl De Leon at the Naha Cupra. You then put him into a car like the WSR BMW and at a team that's a little bit higher in elevation and status and experience, and then he's winning races. And I think, and Jack Sears trophies. And I think maybe this can be what Nick Howsett needs. And I think and I said it around Nick Hamilton as well. It is in some ways quite brave because there is no hiding place. This is a car that, you know, I know that we doubted it at the start of the season. We've had lots of, you know, you shouldn't have doubted it, blah, blah, blah. We're not doubting it anymore. No one's doubting it anymore. Everybody knows this is a good car. So everyone's going to have expectations for Howsett to do well in it.
Yeah, we've also got to remember, though, that car is coming to each racetrack and having to learn each racetrack.
Yes,
primarily the cars are very similar underneath with the setups and stuff like that. But every car adapts very, very differently to each circuit. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes throughout the season. And it's very much going to be balancing his performances off of what the rest of the team are doing, probably more closely Patterson rather than Moffat and Doble. We'll see.
Right, we'll rattle through the last few bits of news and then get on to the actual preview. So some good news that the touring car coverage and extensive highlights is set to continue through 2030 on ITV. In the off-season, Sky purchased some of ITV sporting rights, which would include the touring cars. We did mention that in our questions-answered session that if it went behind a paywall, it would be a disaster, and I'm glad to see it. Well, I thought it would be a disaster. You had some interesting views on the way F1 has gone, but for more information and more debate on that, go check out the podcast. But good news, I think, to keep touring cars on terrestrial TV free-to-air.
Yeah, the other piece of Power Max Racing news is the junior program, which they are supporting, building, looking to support going forward into next season. We're actually going to see what looks like the first iteration of the car at Thruxton this weekend. So it'll be interesting to see how much different it possibly looks to a Ginetta Junior, which we're obviously harping back to as the primary junior series, then go up through the ranks, whether it looks anything like the mock-ups that we had of the other junior car that was allegedly going to be used, or whether it is something completely radical and different.
It's not radical.
We're still understanding that it will be a closed wheel car, and it will be interesting to see if they have any price brackets as to what the cars are going to cost to be able to get them on the circuit for a championship.
Agreed. Right, before we go into the actual Thruxton previews part of the podcast, this is your regular reminder that if you are not subscribed on YouTube, now is your time to go and subscribe. Get the bell on, make sure you've liked our Instagram and Facebook pages because they are the places for news and debate, particularly on the Facebook page. We've got a nice community over there, so come and join the touring car fun.
Yes, thank you for all the support so far this season, and we'll continue to bring all the news, reviews and previews going forward.
Right, into Thruxton itself then. 12 corners, the circuit of speed, 2.36 miles, debuted in 1968, and the qualifying lap record is held by...
Ingram?
No.
Oh, dear.
Second guess?
Cook.
No.
He's quick here.
He is, but he's not got. It's Dan Kamish with a 115.2 set in 2020.
In the Honda
and pre-hybrid era.
Okay.
So that is interesting.
It'll be interesting to see if that gets broken this weekend. Obviously, I think the cars are a bit quicker nowadays, especially with the hybrid setup.
Boost. Okay, the race lap record.
Kamish?
No.
Of course. Sutton.
Correct. A 115.3.
Okay.
So very close to the, I've rounded these up because I can't be bothered to read out all the digits. And that was set last year in 2025 in last year's Focus.
Closing in on it then.
Yes, absolutely.
I wonder if a more slippery Focus this year might be able to beat those then.
Quite possibly. If we look back to last year just briefly, race one was Ingram from Kamish from Cook. Race two, Kamish, Ingram, Rowbottom. And race three, Rowbottom, Ingram and Sutton. In terms of the two championship protagonists, obviously it is Ingram and Sutton. That is the only two at this stage. And it's really Sutton versus himself. Sutton had a second, a fourth and a third. Ingram had a first, a second and a second. The weather is due to be cloudy but dry.
Yes. I've seen speculation of possible rain.
Yes, but
I think would be quite entertaining at Thruxton. But we'll see how it all pans out.
We've said that before, and it has never... I think every time we've said about rain on this podcast, it has never, ever rained. So
it's not blazing sunshine that we have to sit out in, I think I'm fairly happy.
Yeah, that's true. Should we just quickly run through where the drivers stand before going into the nitty-gritty? As I say, Sutton is well ahead in the main championship. 220 points back. Tom Ingram on 172. Dan Kamish on 160. Yes, it'll be interesting to see how, if they can close the gap, if at all. In the manufacturers, Alliance Ford leads the way in that by a considerable margin over Accelerate, again, unsurprisingly. The teams, Napa lead that as well. Fairly large margin, rinse and repeat. WSR, second in that. Now, this is the real quiz. This is where the interesting stuff comes.
Independent teams and independent drivers.
So, Mikey Doble is top of the independent drivers by a single point over De Leon, and Rainford is only 7 points back on 159. So, that is a particularly close championship. Again, in independent teams, LKQ, sit down. Euro Car Parts with Powermax Racing have 200. They are a single point ahead of WSR, who are another 15 points clear of Laser Tools Racing with MB Motorsports. So that's going to be another close one.
A non-finish for an independent entry at the moment is really quite critical to your championship challenge and teams championship challenge.
Completely agree. And then over in the Jack Sears, Patson has, by the accounts of the previous two, a little bit of breathing space at the top. He's on 195, James Dornan on 188, and Sam Osborne, who may or may not be competing. He's still on all the stuff. On the official entry list, it suggests he's not competing the Jack Sears. On the official touring car website and media over the summer break, he is competing. 166, so we'll see how that goes. And obviously, the two new drivers, Bensley and Gilbert, will be put into the Jack Sears from this weekend as well.
They will, yes. Moving on to the timings for this weekend then, and on Saturday, obviously, we now have that race to pole qualifying session. So we will have qualifying session at 2 till 2.35. Then we'll have the small little break ready for the teams to turn the cars round, ready for the race to pole, which will be happening at 3:05, obviously all subject to change if anything happens on race day. And that race to pole will be 12 laps, subject to safety cars.
Absolutely. Moving to the Sunday.
On to the Sunday. And it's a little bit of a leisurely start.
Thankfully. Good news for us.
Yeah, I know. Nice big breakfast.
I was say, you can just cook breakfast, yeah.
So touring car starts at 11:45 and will be 16 laps for each race. The second race will be at 2:40. And then the final race of the day, which is the final race of the weekend, is at 5:30. As we've already mentioned, we have minis,
and a bit of Porsche, I think.
Porsche and F4 this weekend.
F4 as well.
So I'm quite looking forward to the Sports Series this weekend.
Apart from F4, which we wanted to get rid of.
Yes.
As discussed. Wonderful. Okie dokie. Right, so if I was to say to you, what one driver are you looking forward to seeing this weekend or thinking might have an interesting weekend, who would you say?
Cook.
Well, that's original.
We know Cook goes really well at Thruxton.
Yes.
Generally.
Yes, yes.
But he's had some struggles in the Toyota at times. And even last season when we came to Thruxton, he was in that Toyota and it was really struggling at that point. And he still managed to, I think, drag a podium out of it.
Yeah, that's true. That was the hamster and a wheel engine, wasn't
it? Exactly. Yeah. So I think with the Toyota now set up with the Toker engine, I think we're going to see a much better performance. He seems to be so comfortable in that car at Thruxton that I think we might see a sneaky win from him, quite possibly. And the other driver that went well last year, Rowbottom.
He was my one, yeah.
Go on.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, last year he had perfected a fantastic overtake for procedure around the complex, the first complex, which is Allard, I believe.
Yep.
And he did really well. He took a podium and a win last year. If anything, that's sort of where his season really kick-started last year. And it's been a bumpy start for Plato Racing. I don't think that is too unfair to say.
I would like to hope that the style of circuit that Thruxton is and the size of the car that the Merc is and how slippery it is.
It is the slipperiest shape in the world, Sam.
Apparently. That it should go quite well here as long as that engine is strong enough to, by the end of the straight, still be there fighting with the likes of the Napa and the Hyundai. Then we could see a good weekend from them. I must admit, I'm not expecting anything like podiums or anything like that.
Well, I think he might sneak a podium.
I just think they need a good point scoring weekend.
One thing I think might be interesting for them and PMR is that this, obviously they're running new cars, and this is a circuit that is horrendously tough on tyres. It is all about setup and making sure you look after the tyres. There'll be a lot of learning for those teams to do because these are completely different cars to anything they've run before. Obviously, PMR have ran hatchback, I think, for their entire existence, apart from the Chevy Cruze back in 2010, I want to say. So a long time ago, obviously, they used to running hatchbacks, which will be set up and deal with tyres in a completely different way to what they're running now. And Mercedes and Plato Racing will have no data that is relevant at all from both. Morgan had a BMW before. Okay, similar shape, but I mean, completely different setup car.
The only thing that obviously we have to take into account this weekend being Thruxton, that there is only one type of tyre compound. So we won't see any of the furore of drivers going, oh, I'm not finishing third because I'm going to get the wrong tyre for race two.
But I think that if we were to put money on puncture, I mean, there will be a puncture. I'm almost convinced of it because it's what happens at Thruxton most years. Mm-hmm. But I say I do think PMR and Plato will have to be even more on the ball on that one.
Dare I say, you know who suffered with punches at Media Day?
It was Toyota.
Toyota.
And for the first two rounds as well, had punctures. Yep. I mean, look, I think
I'm really looking forward to Cook being leading in that position, trying to bring home one of my predictions and bang.
I think, quite literally bang. I think a puncture isn't necessarily a sign here of poor management or poor setup. It is a real risk around this circuit. Yep. But as I say, I just think that some of the teams will have the data from last year that might put them in a little bit of better stead than some of the other teams this weekend.
Any other thoughts before we get into our predictions?
I don't know what to expect from BMW and WSR this weekend. They are a little bit Jekyll and Hyde this season. Some tracks they go really well at, with decent explanation. Other tracks they don't go so well at. Mm. I don't really know if this is going to be a good weekend. Hill was always really strong here.
He was.
But he was strong here in everything he raced. Yeah. It was a circuit that really suited him. There's not a lot of traction zones for the rear-wheel drive to really make a difference here. And I do wonder whether... I do wonder, going back to your point about Toyota, whether just through the tighter bits around the first complex and the final chicane, just having that slightly smaller, nimbler car could have an advantage over these longer saloon styles that have got to lumber their way through that those tighter part of the section of the track, sorry.
Only time will tell, unfortunately.
We will.
But we can still make predictions, and as wild as they may be, we do this every weekend. And if you haven't seen already, do get your predictions down below in the comments and follow our select list.
Yeah, you are miles ahead. I haven't actually checked the score, but I think you're a good 4 points ahead. I will confirm at the end of this what the score is because I haven't got that tab open at the minute. But so we'll start off with who do you think is going to get pole? So this is the winner of qualifying on the Saturday.
I'm going to go for Daryl De Leon.
So you've ignored everything I've just said about BMW.
Yes, exactly.
Okie dokie. Yes. No problem at all, which probably means that's a point. I've gone for Dan Kamish. He was very quick here last year. The Focus was quick here. He's quick here.
He seems to enjoy Thruxton. I don't know whether it's because of nice, fast-flowing freedom that you get around Thruxton. But yeah, he just seemed to feel comfortable.
Yep, I completely agree. And then who do you think will win the race to pole qualifying sprint?
I've gone for Collard. He's just that tenacious little, right, I'm going for it kind of thing. And if he's not going to have many race weekends left, who knows?
Lots of ifs there. I think yes. It can go one or two ways with that. If you are of the car persuasion, who is a very, very aggressive on the edge racer. And we've seen Sutton go wrong here a couple of times. He's not dissimilar in his approach. If you get it wrong here, it can be curtains of capital C, can't it? Yes. So, yeah. I'm going for Camish. I think that we will see it converted. I just think if I kind of think...
We haven't had that many conversions of poles.
No, but I just think that here the overtaking opportunities are limited. And I also think that he's got to lock in at some point, and this could be the weekend he does so.
I reckon we could see a last lap dive pass into the final chicane.
It depends if they keep on the road.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. So three winners for the weekend. These are all races on Sunday. I've gone for Sutton, Cook and Collard.
Okie dokie. Your obligatory cook in there.
Yes, of course.
Yep, fair enough. I've gone for Camish, Sutton and Chilton.
Chilton's a bold one.
I expect the Hyundai engine to be strong throughout the weekend, him to be in the mix for a reverse grid is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Chilton does sort of finish in the top eight generally as a rule of thumb.
Or the car turns
off. So, yeah. And I think the Hyundai... It was strong here last year of Tom Ingram. It's interesting that neither of us have gone for Tom Ingram in any of these so far, and he can't be in the Jack Sears category. So, yeah, that means a triple crown win.
Yeah.
a slam dunk, pole, sprint, three wins.
I'm guaranteeing that with one of my predictions as well.
Absolutely. So. and then for the Jack Sears, you've gone for?
I've gone for Dorling.
Yeah, fair play.
I just, as you said, that Hyundai should be okay here, and I think he'll get the most out of the car. And with you going for Patterson, I just don't know how the Audi's going to react
to be honest, it was a coin flip between him and Dorling for me, and I decided to go for Patterson, which means it'll be Dorling, because every time I pick Dorling, Patterson wins. And so congratulations, Sam Osborne, who is the potential, or maybe not, who knows? Right, three general predictions for the weekend then, and I'll kick us off, because this is quite a long one, so bear with me. Neither of the new drivers, so that's Gilbert and Bensley, score points on the Sunday, and at least one of them has at least one non-finish.
On the Sunday?
On the Sunday.
Okay.
Only on the Sunday.
Yeah, okay. I could possibly see that happening. A non-finish more down to, okay, we'll bring the car in, we'll make some setup changes. I think more is likely to happen.
And can we disagree that if it's a non-classified, it's a non-finish? Because I think they might come back out and be so far down they're not classified. Not being two laps down, I'm talking okay.
So I've gone for a brand new winner this season. So we've had seven winners so far.
There's not many to pick from. Collard is obviously...
Collard, Cook.
Yeah.
Chilton, you've got in there.
Not won? No, he hasn't won a race
yet. So, De Leon?
Has won a race, hasn't he?
No, not this season.
Did he win a Brands?
No.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm hopeful on that one. It is a little bold, a little out there, but could possibly come home.
Okay. I've then gone for 4+ cars to cut the final chicane on the Sunday. So, minimum 4 to cut the final chicane. I need to really find an image of what I mean by this, but I'm not talking a little cut. I'm not necessarily talking about getting track limits. I'm talking missing the chicane,
This is the middle corner of the final chicane, effectively.
I would say they have to go round the barriers. However, we don't know if the tyre barriers will be up. We're assuming they will be, but there's always an argument whether they should be up or not anyway. Yeah.
So normally there are bales that go across to stop people just completely straight lining, and they have to go around the back of them. And sometimes we see a tyre bundle right on the edge of that corner.
Yeah.
Depending on what series is racing and the safety specs that they want to put in for that weekend.
Yeah.
So, yeah. My second one, Row Bottom, and this is very critical as to the moves that he was making last season. Mm. He had some very good moves at that first complex.
Very good moves.
And I expect him to make 3 or more of those same overtakes this weekend throughout the 3 races.
So they don't have to be carbon copies. You mean he's got to get past 3 cars in that period?
That go wide, cut back, and then get that drive out sort of thing.
So what if he does a different move, but still gets past somebody at that Are you being so specific it has to be that feint and move, or are you going to allow just a general pass?
I think a general pass, because it seems to be his favourite position on the track to make a move.
As long as somebody's not gone off and he's passed.
Correct.
So it has
to be a proper move full position, whether it's down the inside into the first part, a cutback through the second and third part, or whatever.
And the lawyer in my head,
yes,
blue flag pass does not count on. No, I'm just
all position.
Thank you very much. Just so we've got this clear.
Jesus.
Finally, I also have a robot in one, and I've gone for robot in two, outscore Morgan over the weekend by more than 8 points. Now, the reason for this is that Morgan, in my opinion, has been by far the better of the two drivers at the moment. Robottom seems to be really struggling within the team. And a bit like you've just mentioned there, of his overtakes that he was doing last year, and he's, as I say, he seemed to really kick on from Thruxton last season. I'm thinking this could be the flashpoint for him to get his season started.
Okay, I've also gone for a point scoring one. I believe Ingram will score less than 45 points this weekend. Now,
that's us uninvited from the Ingram fan club.
Yeah, so generally, I would say that him and Sutton score upwards of 50 most weekends at the moment.
Said of no investigations whatsoever, pure vibes.
Well, what have we had? We've had four rounds.
Oh, you're probably right.
He's on 172 points, Ingram.
Yeah.
So that's an average of 43 points. Average of 43 points a round.
Yeah, okay.
You accepting that?
I'm accepting that, though. Okay. Now you've worked out the average doesn't actually sound that impressive.
I could drop it to 40 if you want. I'm happy to drop it to 40.
Or
work that out.
Or if you want to work out specifically, I'm happy to say he'll score less than his average points score this season.
Okay. I'm confirming that is 43.
Okay.
In my head.
Then fine, we'll do it that way. Perfect. Less than his average this season.
Yep. No problem at all.
Cool. That's fair enough.
Let us know any of your general predictions down below as well. We're always keen to hear them, however wacky and wild they are.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find out what the actual scores are, so keep talking.
As we've already mentioned, we'll be down there this weekend. So if you do see us walking about, do come over and say hello. We hopefully will have our stickers with us.
If I can find them.
Good. Do please ask for those. Talk to us about the touring car season so far. Talk to us about whatever you like, really. We don't bite and we're quite happy to talk.
7-4.
Okay, 3 points.
Not insurmountable. Mm. I mean, I'm feeling probably happier than Ingram is right now. But, yeah.
Let's see if I can push that lead out this weekend.
It's worth noting for the tape that for the last two rounds, I've not scored a single point.
Yeah, that is true.
So I need to use this as my kickstarter for the week, for the season, because I will say I've been off by millimetres on a couple of them, but off by millimetre is still off, as track limits.
I was going to go down the Vin Diesel line of, doesn't matter if you win a race by a millimetre or a mile, a win's a win.
When did he say that?
In the first movie.
You like First and Furious, don't you? Yeah.
So, yeah.
I see. That seems quite a clunky way of gloating, doesn't it?
Any final thoughts?
Is that the one about family as well?
Yeah, always about family.
Always about family, right. No, I have no final thoughts apart from never to watch the Fast and Furious franchise.
Well, we will be back with a review of, obviously, the Saturday evening.
In the back of a car.
Yes, I know, depending how it all goes. And then we will have the full Sunday review out on, hopefully, Monday evening for you. Subject to darts and other activities. But until then, we'll speak to you again soon.
Bye for now.